Hello, I'm Peter Andrews from the British Retail Consortium. Today we're here to talk about the government's resources and waste strategy that was published just before Christmas in 2018. I'm delighted that we are joined by Linda from DEFRA, as well as Adrian from VALPAC, which is the leading producer responsibility compliance scheme in the UK. So the resources and waste strategy is a new strategy building on the government's 25-year environment plan. The strategy sets out how the government plans to double resource productivity and eliminate avoidable waste of all kinds, including plastic, by 2050. So the strategy is really there to set out how the UK will preserve its stock of natural resources by minimising waste, promoting resource efficiency and moving towards a more circular economy. We'll also be looking at how to minimise the damage caused to our natural environment by reducing and managing waste safely and carefully, as well as dealing with waste crime. These issues are very much at the forefront for the public, as well as governments, as well as businesses, not just here in the UK, but right across the world. Growing challenges around marine litter. For example, in the EU, it's been estimated that 80 to 85% of all marine litter is made from plastic, with over 50% of that being single-use plastic. We're also facing huge global challenges on climate change, and waste management here in the UK contributes about 4% of the UK's greenhouse gas emissions. But we also recognise there are economic reasons why we need to be looking at these issues. The value of the resources that we're using nowadays is going to continue to increase as there's global competition for those resources amongst increasing scarcity, as well as there are nations such as China are no longer prepared to accept the low quality waste that the UK has tended to export in the past, and that creates additional pressure on the UK's own recycling infrastructure. So that is another element that this strategy is very much looking to address. The BRC has been very active in engaging in all of these issues in the past, taking members' views and feeding into government on all types of proposals related to resources and waste and the wider environmental context. I'm going to pass first over to Linda to give the overview from DEFRA on the strategy.
Hello, thank you very much. As Peter said in his introductory comments, the Resources and Waste Strategy essentially builds on a commitment made in the 25-year Environment Plan, which was published in January of last year, whereby the government pledged to leave the environment in a better condition for the next generation. And in particular, the Resources and Waste Strategy focuses on a circular economy approach. So it thinks about how we can make the best use of the resources available to us and minimise the impact of waste on the environment and on the economy. So it looks at it from an environmental as well as an economic perspective. And the strategy really sets out the government's ambitions in a number of areas. It sets out what we want to achieve in terms of delivering on the strategy and how we plan to take action. It's broadly structured into three parts. The first part considers the product life cycle. So it considers how we make things, how we use things, and how we deal with products and packaging at end of life. The second part focuses on two key topical issues, which has been the subject of much debate and prior consultation as well. One is waste crime and how we can reduce the impact of waste crime, again, on the environment and the economy. And it also takes comprehensive look at food waste, and particularly it gives a focus to how we must continue to reduce the amount of food waste that we produce. In part three of the strategy, we look at a number of bigger picture and cross-cutting themes. One is the government's ambition in terms of taking an international leadership role on issues related to the environment, and in particular, some of the commitments that we've already made in terms of reducing the impact of plastics on the environment. We look at opportunities for research and innovation in the whole area of resource and waste. And we also look at data monitoring and evaluation and set out a framework for how we intend to monitor the impact of the strategy going forward. Supporting the key strategy document is an annex which sets out and describes all the key evidence that we have used in the development of the strategy. A lot of the detail and the detail that links into requirements to actually amend or introduce new regulations will be the subject of consultation. And Shortly, the government will be issuing consultations on three key areas. First of all, reform of the packaging waste regulations, in particular to extend the regulations to include aspects of extended producer responsibility. We are also consulting on a deposit return scheme for drinks containers, and we will also be consulting on minimum standards for household and business collection services, which includes proposals to introduce more consistency into how these services are provided. Alongside these three consultations from DEFRA, HM Treasury will also be consulting on the plastic packaging tax, which was announced in Budget 2018. Our consultation on carrier bags, that's extending the use and charge for carrier bags, was issued in late December and closes on the 22nd of February. So that's a bit of a heads up on key consultations that, as I say, will be out shortly.
Thank you, Linda. Over to Adrian to talk about this from FALPAC's point of view.
Thank you, Peter. Well, of course, this strategy has been very well trailed by DEFRA and others. It was well expected. I think it is fair to say, when I talk to colleagues, that there isn't much in it which was not expected to be there, but it is very good to actually see those proposals and those ideas for taking things forward written down and adopted as part of government policy. And so, very positive from that point of view. I do want to draw people's attention to two very important words on the front of the resources and waste strategy, which it also says for England. And this is very important because, of course, the governments in devolved parts of the UK do have the power to set environmental policies and regulation themselves, should they wish to do so. But importantly, this strategy says that DEFRA is committed to working with devolved administrations on common regimes and common policies wherever possible. But it is important for business to bear in mind that that isn't inevitable. And one of the key messages which certainly retailers may wish to consider getting over to government is that the more consistent policy across the UK as a whole, the better, and that's one thing to bear in mind. We at VALPAC have been doing a lot of work before this document came out on some of the key topics we expected to be included. For example, increasing producer responsibility regimes. The main one, as far as we're concerned, being packaging, of course, but there are also producer responsibility covering retailers in waste electricals and in batteries, which are very important. And so we've done some work and put out reports on suggesting various models for how that could operate, but also on deposit return systems and proposals for a deposit on one-way drinks containers, where we've suggested, as part of a working group involving a number of retailers and BRC members, some policies and considerations for how that could be designed if the intention is indeed to take that forwards. Just to focus on some of the particular themes and elements which are of most interest to us and also of our members, many of which are also BRC members, when we're thinking about reform of the producer responsibility system for packaging, as well as the key issue of the potential for an increase in cost to producers, which could be anything between a 5 to 10 times increase over current costs, so a very significant change in future. There are a number of other issues which I think are less important but nonetheless need to be considered. For example, should we be continuing with our system of shared responsibility where packaging suppliers, brand owners and fillers and retailers all take a share of the system, or should it change to a system where there's just a single point of responsibility? And if it changes, where should that point of responsibility be? Another key issue is whether to change the regulations so that smaller businesses are involved in a way which currently they're exempt from the regulations. And also, I think very importantly, with the change in business and commercial sort of supply models over the last 5 to 10 years, how do we ensure that any future system fairly shares the cost amongst online sellers with those with a more physical infrastructure, and to make sure that that is built into the new system from the start. So some key considerations to think about there. But one other, which I think is going to be very important for not only retailers but any businesses involved, is whether the government decides to adopt a system based on a single monopoly scheme for dealing with packaging producer responsibility, or whether a system is devised whereby there's some degree of competition maintained between operators. And if that is the case, how is that done in such a way that it ensures high standards of operation, achieving the environmental standards and having a high standard of scheme operation while still giving producers some element of choice? So I think that those are some of the most important themes. The other point that I would like to mention is that if producers are going to be expected to take a much higher share of the cost, a really important factor will be about how they ensure that that extra funding is wisely used and actually delivers the investment in the future system that we need.
Thank you very much, Adrian. So, Linda, over to you. In terms of the costs, what is the government doing to assess the costs on businesses and individuals?
As part of the consultation for both, well, all three consultations, in fact, that I referred to around reform of packaging, a DRS, and changes to collection arrangements. All these consultations will be supported by a partial impact assessment. So we have done some analysis to assess what the costs are of the proposals that we're putting forward in our consultations.
Excellent. And you'll welcome further research and evidence on the likely costs that we can foresee for the retail industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, we do highlight that this is a partial assessment and we will make it clear in the consultation documents where we think our evidence gaps are poor or could be better informed. So any final proposals that come forward from government following the consultation would be subject to a full impact assessment.
Great. And in terms of extended producer responsibility, a number of products or materials are identified in the strategy as definitely going to be foreseeing an EPR on them. And there are also a number of other items that are likely or to be considered going forward. Could you give a bit more detail about what those likely focuses are going to be next and what the process is for those?
Yes, you're right. I mean, a key theme of the strategy is the application of extended producer responsibility, both to some of the current producer responsibility regimes that we have in place now, but also to look to apply it to other difficult to handle products and waste streams in the future. So our commitment at the moment is to certainly focus, our immediate focus is on packaging, so reforming the packaging waste regulations in line with extended producer responsibility. We then make a commitment in the strategy to review the other existing producer responsibility schemes, starting with waste electricals later this year, later in 2019. And then we will also start to do some work to look at how EPR could be applied to other product streams in the future. And we identify in the strategy five key products, waste streams, which are textiles, fishing gear, tyres, construction materials, and some bulky items such as mattresses and carpets. So our commitment to the strategy is to have consulted on EPR approaches to at least two of these waste streams by the end of 2022 and further consideration to other potential waste streams by 2025.
Excellent. As Adrian said, that this is a strategy for England. However, some elements of the consultations may not just apply to England. They may have wider impacts. Is that correct? Can you provide any more detail?
Yes, that's right. I mean, yeah, that's right. This resources and waste strategy is a strategy for England. But Adrian quite rightly pointed out that on certain matters, it makes sense to continue to operate and take a UK-wide approach. So for that reason, our proposals to reform the packaging waste regulations will be a UK-wide consultation. We'll be doing our consultation jointly with Scottish Government and Welsh Government. We've had some, you know, clear messages that industry would like to see a continuation of a UK-wide approach to packaging, and that's what we're going to be putting forward. Clearly, we have to, within the context of that, respect that this is also a devolved policy area, but we are consulting on a UK-wide basis. On deposit return schemes, this will be a consultation between DEFRA and Welsh Government. Scottish Government, as you know, have already concluded their consultation on a DRS in Scotland. And our consultation on minimum service standards for household and business collections and consistency is an England-only consultation because certainly in the devolved nations, they already have taken sort of policy initiatives forward on collections. And clearly the packaging tax, it's a treasury tax, so that a UK-wide consultation.
Linda, thank you very much for your input into this. Adrian, over to you. So in terms of the costs, the EPR impact on businesses is going to go up by a magnitude of quite a large amount, or is estimated to. And how would businesses ensure they get the most value for money of the increased cost that they're putting into the system?
Well, I think this is going to be one of the key questions to look at in more detail when we see the detail of the proposals in consultations. But I think that the key consideration in there is to ensure that this doesn't just result in a cost transfer to business. So there'll be absolutely no benefit in terms of moving the system forward if it simply means different people paying for the same thing that happens now. So I think that it would be really important to look for ways that business can ensure it's getting value for money out of this, that the money is used in the right way, and indeed that things are built into the system that encourage efficiencies, economies of scale, and so on. So that just driving forwards in the same way that we have done historically is not the way forward as far as I see it. And I think that will be down to how the government decides that the detail of contractual arrangements and so on work, so that the incentives are built in the right way, and why certainly I think one thing which is really important to consider is the role of compliance scheme, and whether that's a single system for the whole of the UK or whether there's an element of competition built into that.
And so the pros and cons in just a very top level of a single scheme versus a market-based scheme, I mean, what would be your initial thoughts?
Well, when you look around about experience in other parts of Europe, there are pros and cons for both. I'm not saying there's one particular model which is better in all circumstances. What I would say is at headline level is that experience has shown that monopoly schemes are certainly very good at developing infrastructure rapidly from scratch. They've been proved to achieve very high levels of recycling in a short period of time where they've been rolled out in other countries. The difficulty has been that they tend to do that at the expense of a relatively high cost base. And once that's established, it's very difficult to then start to get that back into control. Competitive regimes, of course, have to be properly managed and controlled, and they struggle to respond as quickly as that. But I think experience shows that when they do that over a period of time, they probably build in more efficiencies, and because of that competitive element, there is better value for money for producers and higher standards of customer service, and of course an element of choice rather than not having any choice.
And so for the retailers that are looking through this strategy and are waiting to see the consultations, are there any other particular elements that you think they should keep a watch out for that, you know, they may not immediately notice as they're reading through it?
I think there are a number of areas that come into that category. One is the particular proposals on dealing with waste itself, because a number of retailers are not only producers in terms of participating in producer responsibility regimes, but they have waste at the back of their stores, in their DCs and so on to deal with. So looking at some of the stricter requirements for managing and tracking that material, I think, is going to be important. Of course, on the producer responsibility side, not just packaging, but as Linda rightly mentioned, waste electrical equipment and batteries will be reviewed, slightly longer timescale, but nonetheless important to look at how that might be affected. But then within packaging, yes, there's a reform of the system, but one of the elements that's in the detail there is a proposal to look at how fees would not only be increased, but also modulated, so that that's done in a way which incentivizes certain types of packaging over other types of packaging. So I think it'd be really important to think about some of the considerations in how that works, and what kind of level of incentive would be required, and indeed what's the capability of retailers to respond if those are incentives are in place, because there may be some design decisions that are made for reasons which are not so easy to change, even if there was a will to do so.
So thank you very much to our speakers today. They've provided very helpful insights into this strategy, and clearly there is lots for retailers to consider, as well as detail to look out for, both here in this strategy and in the forthcoming consultations. So what will BRC do? Well, we will circulate the consultations as and when they are published, and we will then bring members together to go into the detail of what each consultation is looking at. And to do that, we will bring in external experts as well, including DEFRA and other stakeholders into those discussions. But we will also continue to engage with the devolved administrations, whether it's through the consultation proposals as how they are now, or it's the initiatives that they are taking forward independently, such as in Scotland on the DRS scheme. We want to ensure that the retail industry is very much feeding into all of these developments. So if you have any further thoughts, any further questions, please do not hesitate to get in touch with us to ensure that we contribute to developing a robust strategy that delivers for the environment and for the economy. So to get in touch with BRC, you can go through the usual channels. But Adrian, how do people find more information on Valpak or get in touch with yourselves?
Well, thank you, Peter. The best way is to look at our website as well, valpak.co.uk, where you can find information about how we operate, but also details of how to get in touch, either by email or telephone. If somebody wants to do that, we'd be more than happy to take any further questions from BRC members about this subject or any other subject. So please do send those in, and they would get forwarded on to me or a colleague. Also, though, I'll mention that there is a section in the public part of our website called Useful Information, where we have a lot of reports and information about this and other relevant issues. It includes our PACFLOW 2025 report we did a couple of years ago, which I think a number of people are aware of but might be interested, and also a report that we have had translated from the competition authorities on Germany about the impacts of introducing competition into producer responsibility for packaging there, which has some very useful information.
Excellent. So thank you again to our speakers, and thank you very much for listening. BRC will be in touch shortly with the new consultations as and when they're published.